is RSVNB Update, episode 382, recorded Friday, October 12th, 2012. Jagex's generosity. Be thankful. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of RSVNB Update. Just Trekkie and myself here this week.
Hey, everybody.
Trekkie's feeling a little under the weather, so I'm not going to incite any debate inside him that'll make him excited and cause him to keel over and die.
You two should please count one. You don't want to drive him.
I don't know if I could do that. I don't know how I'd connect to the San Francisco 911 service.
That's easy. You just dial 911 and say, give me the phone in San Francisco.
But I don't know exactly where you live. I have a general idea, but anyways. This week is the King Black Dragon and Dungeon Rework. What do you think?
I like the new King Black Dragon lair. It made the Black Dragon a little more animalistic. Moves a little bit better, in my opinion. But the three heads are a little nasty. Especially have no armor on or anything else.
Okay. What about the other dungeons? I guess the KBD has... The KBD dungeon got the similar treatment. So, did it feel... I didn't go down to the KBD one, but did it feel more enclosed, or...
I don't know. I think it was more or less the same thing.
Okay. Because I checked out some of the other dungeons, and they felt more... They felt more claustrophobic. So... I mean, but that could just be the fact that I've been using these dungeons since they ever came out, so I might be expected to just have a general feeling of what they're like. Prime example being the Taverly dungeon. It just felt too tight, but I guess being underground, it's supposed to feel that way? I don't know.
It's a dungeon we've known since forever, but I know you guys had an interesting glitch with it.
Yeah, I was running through the Taverly dungeon, and just as I was passing the black demons, I appeared back on the surface again somehow, and that was really strange because I didn't do any teleport or anything like that, and it was right outside the ladder, which is weird, so I'm assuming I ran into some kind of thing that would prevent people from getting stuck in certain areas. Like one of the old wall guards to make sure that you don't get stuck. And I know Mike experienced something similar when he was in the chaos tunnels. So, a few little bugs here and there to work out. Going back to the King Black Dragon, actually, they made it so that the King Black Dragon now drops boots and gloves. And these gloves actually give a pretty high prayer bonus. So if you want to get some extra prayer boost in the glove spot, which there's really not any gloves out now that do boost prayer by that much. So it makes perfect sense to go out and grab these if you want. I think the boots have the stats of rune boots, so not that great. But once again, their prayer boost is pretty good. So,
if you're using prayer, you don't worry about armor anyway. So you just want the prayer bonus to save up on prayer points or prayer potions.
Yeah. So, and these things are dropping for quite a bit of GP right now. I imagine they'll go down in the future once more people go. And, you know, they didn't exactly make a news post about these things that they're going to be dropped. So, it's a nice little hidden reward for those of you guys who do go fight the KBD. They're called Dragon Riders, and the boots, for example, have a plus 3 prayer bonus, whereas all the other boots have a max of plus 1. So that's a pretty substantial boost. The gloves, same thing, have a plus 3 prayer bonus as well. So definitely worth getting, and they do require 60 defense. Currently going for roughly 2.9 mil on the exchange.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. So there is reason to go fight the KBD.
Except when people were fighting, everybody else was fighting it too. So yeah. It was getting full.
And also with this, they modified it. So there's a little portal you can step through, right in Edgeville, that'll take you directly there. So you don't need to risk anything in the wilderness if you don't want to. But alternatively, if you do go through the wilderness, you get an extra 10% boost to your damage output when you're there.
Sweet.
I don't know. I think we could solo the KBD if we wanted to. Because I was looking at the thing, and it's only got 2,400 life points.
Well, if you think about it, all someone has to do is grab a yak, go down with claws, swipe at it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're done. It's not the first time people have done it.
Yeah, and I imagine there's going to be quite a few people upset that that Dragon Claws special's going away. But I'm sure there's something similar. We just haven't found it yet in the EOC. So, other dungeons to be updated. We mentioned the Chaos Tunnel and Taverly. But the Fremenic Slayer dungeon was also updated. This looks good. Brought some good memories back of going to fight Slayer creatures down there. I haven't been down there so long because those are mostly lower level Slayer creatures. What about you?
Nah, ever since I started going to the higher up one, I never bothered. I get monsters from the bigger Slayer dungeon.
Corridel?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So everything in there got a nice little update, and it just looks more modern. But it still feels like the same dungeon, and this one actually doesn't feel as claustrophobic as Taverly did. So I'm happy with that. Now, this next one, the Brimhaven dungeon, this one really does not feel how I like it to feel. It's completely changed. Like, for example, some reason there's deep chasms now in the dungeon with dragon heads floating about. So, I mean, I could understand if they came out with this at first, but it doesn't look like an underground dungeon. It looks like a dungeoneering dungeon.
Why do you say that? Because it's very green, or...?
Well, yeah, that, and it's more square.
It's more square.
Yeah, like the rooms are square for some reason.
Metal dragons get itchy and they scratch themselves on the wall.
And you remember how they used to be stalagmites and stuff hanging down? Those are gone. It's not like it's an underground dungeon anymore. And, I mean, you go through this door that's clearly going underground. So, in my view, it should look like an underground dungeon. But it doesn't. So, I think my most favorite is going to have to be the Chaos Tunnels, followed by the Fremenic Slayer dungeon. Then Taverly, then Brimhaven. Taverly, I mean, is just too tight. Brimhaven just doesn't even look like what it used to, and it looks like it's part of dungeoneering, not even underground. So that's a bit disappointing for me. And another thing that's a bit of a consistency issue, you know, in the Brimhaven dungeon at the Metal Dragons, how there's that secret door you can go through to use your dungeoneering level.
Right.
If you go through that door, it's got the old style of dungeon, not the new one. So, I mean, there's a bit of inconsistency there. It's kind of strange since they're connected, apparently. But, anyways. I don't know. Overall, I'm happy with this. Of course, it's graphical updates we have to expect. I remember when these metal dragons first came out and Dragon Plate Legs came out with them, and that dungeon was so busy, and it was a big, big add-on to the game. So, and it, that was a long time ago, so of course it's definitely time to rework this.
Yeah, well, I still remember when they first came out, people thought they were not aggressive and they didn't bring their anti-fire shield. Next thing they know, oh, we need to fix that. Uh-oh.
Yeah, so.
Let's see.
Ooh, Microsoft now accepting Windows 8 pre-orders. Yay.
Yeah, you just heard about that?
Yeah.
Talk about this last night.
Okay, moving on to other things. Let's talk about the training material packs. So, actually, no, we need to do tweaks and fixes first.
So, not much too much, mostly graphical.
Yeah, but so, one kind of core fix here is that you're now possible to select multiple options when you purchase teleport animations. So when you use the home teleport spell, one of the selected animations will play at random. If none is selected, your home teleport animation will play as normal, and other teleport spells or tablet teleports use your ordinary teleport animation for sky jump if it's one of the one of your selections.
And let's see, Dev Touch starts now work on the Black Knight Titan. Remote banking no longer works in several mini games. Let's see, Living Rock creatures now count toward the Rampage daily challenges. Oh, that's good, I think. Ticket tip in the Olakpu no longer costs the right click option to disappear from familiars. Honestly, every time I've done that with the familiar, it just disappears, so you get out. Oh. Let's see. Voiceovers and body may cannot be turned off using the speech slider.
I thought that worked from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, not much else this week. Let's see. There was one about Armadale or Ceridomen, I think. Let's see. Ah, yes. Loot share now works in all areas of the Armadale God Wars boss room.
Okay, cool. We should go back down. I want to go kill Nex as a giant group, but...
Well, use your darts for that.
Oh, like I said, I want to go down as a group, not I just want to kill it for the heck of it. I still plan on using mine on Queen Black Dragon at least once.
Pew pew.
No, it's more of.
Alrighty. So, moving on now.
We have the. Right before we get in for it, just so everyone knows, just really quick. Halloween bonus XP weekend is coming up roughly 2 weeks.
Oh, joy.
So it comes on the 27th, all 27th to the 28th. So you know what to do.
27th to 29th, actually.
Oh, sorry. Well, noon on the 29th at GMT time. And so you know what to do. Get ready. Get all this stuff together. Get all your herbs and bars and whatever you want to do.
Yep. You know, I find this funny.
That they announced that they're not going to do it, and they say they're going to do it right away.
No, not because of that. Because of the opposite. They announced they're not going to do this. And then we get people all over the community crying a foul because they are doing a bonus XP weekend when they clearly said they wouldn't. Now, what's the problem with that? It's a bonus XP weekend. Who doesn't like a bonus XP weekend?
I did just say that. You know.
I know. But who does it?
I would say people who got their 99s the hard way.
No, but I mean...
Sorry.
It's only been so long since they announced that they weren't doing it. So what are people complaining about?
Mm-hmm. because they said that they're not going to do it. Then they say they do, because I think what happened is that people saved up for the bonus XP weekend beforehand. Then they announced that they're not going to do it anymore. So a lot of people used up their supplies. They said, well, might as well use them up now. And I'm guessing that's what happened, is because people who were saving it up for bonus XP weekend suddenly like, oh, they got rid of it. Well, that I might as well use all these things up. And now they're announcing it again. That means they have to go buy all the stuff they want to raise again.
Okay. Now, that makes sense. But I'm of the opinion that bonus XP weekend shouldn't be announced. You log in on Friday and you see it's bonus XP. That's the way it should work, in my view. That way then we minimize the effect on the economy. Everyone has an equal chance at getting resources when they log in. Everybody uses what they have rather than this huge, huge stockpile event.
Well, most other games give you a week notice. Just they're giving you 2 weeks, which is a lot. I mean, before it was almost...
Which is very generous, and it's going to throw the economy into flux again.
It does that for every bonus XP, then it stabilizes out the next day. For the next couple of weeks, it stabilizes out.
And, you know, maybe this is part of their strategy. Maybe it's because they need another gold sink, so they want people to spend the money on resources or something. Because let's be real here. The number one most trained skill in a bonus XP weekend is construction, right?
I wouldn't know. I always do Herblor first. Farming and Herblor. So Herblor all stuff always goes up during that time.
I think it's construction just because it's so expensive.
Okay.
So maybe they just want to force people to put some money into the biggest money sink in the game or something. Also, free players will have bonus XP weekend with 20% more XP.
And, of course, members being members get a double XP, so you get twice the amount.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is that, I don't know, maybe they'll announce it as we're getting closer to it. They didn't announce that if it was going to go down.
Exactly.
So a lot of people are wondering, well, free-to-play get a 20%, 20%. We're assuming it's going to be flat.
Members double. And
right?
If we use the same formula as before for all the previous bonus XP weekends, and you average it out over the 10 hours or whatever, it comes to be roughly 1.69 multiplier. So not double.
Mm-hmm. Well, thing is that with free-to-play, we're pretty sure they probably would stay at 20%. I don't think they'll go down, to like 1% or something like that.
Yeah, that would be just an hour or two, which would be rather pitiful.
So I don't know if it will go up or down, but members before it was 2.75, and it goes down every hour. So
yeah.
It's curious if they're just going to leave it at times two for
if
the
10
hours.
If they did leave it as at times two, that would be be pretty nice.
But then again, you have the whole economy thing, so lots of potions are going to be flying to the G.
Yep.
And oh, I don't know. Maybe they'll probably say more of it next week. So we'll talk more about that when it gets down to it.
Very good. So in the same idea of training skills, this weekend you can spin the Wheel of Fortune and get training material packs. So for example, you're going to get items that will help you train skills, including construction, crafting, farming, herblore, smithing, and summoning. And these will be replacing the medium and huge skill-specific lamps.
Doesn't
and they'll
help
be tailored
me.
To your level.
Doesn't help me. I always get the 1,000 coins.
Yeah, that. I'd like to see less coins as well than what I get. So, to celebrate this update, this weekend we're hosting Double Pack Weekend. Spin between Friday, October 12th and Monday, October 15th. And you'll have double the chance to win material packs. What's more, you'll also have double likelihood of landing on XP lamps and other skills.
That has never happened with me. Remember all those times I said double chance to get XP lamps and all that? Never happens with me.
Well, Tess so didn't many... make a log.
Well, the thing is, I want to actually make it quote-unquote truly random, so that's why I just do the time 10. I mean, if I really wanted the item, I just go back to time 4 and try to time myself again.
Right.
I mean, you remember last time I told you during the amulet stuff, you know, I decided to go back to times 4 and I started timing my stuff out. I ended up getting 4 pieces of the amulet, 2 double spins, and a medium lamp. And that's from one go.
Yeah.
I didn't. There was all my spins used up all at one time. So like I said, it's not really random. You just gotta time it right.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the huge or whatnot is still physically impossible, but it's not, you know, well, highly improbable, I would say.
So let's see what we get this weekend. Moving on from that, combat bait event this weekend is pest control. So if you are missing out on any parts of the mad scientist outfit, you just need to go play a game of pest control.
Sorry. And yeah, so have fun and see how it is, and it's be a good chance to really try out all your AoE attacks.
Yeah.
All those monsters over there, like, let's just see how much damage you can deal in, you know, 2.5 seconds.
So, last time I did pest control, I mainly did it as normal. I have a feeling I should go back this time, and we should finally nail out the hybrid attacks.
Well, my thing is, I still cannot figure that thing out, and I don't think many other people have figured that one out too. And if you have, please do share, because I'm sure most of us would love to figure out how we use ranging skills while we're holding a melee weapon. On the other hand, I mean, they did it on the behind the scenes thing, you know.
They used a ranged ability while holding a melee weapon in their main hand.
They used a rune crossbow while holding a whip.
Right,
and they would. You know, range and melee and range. So yeah, so we'll see what happens. I look forward to seeing a lot of red popping up as I'm, you know, having my dual wielding battle axes.
And didn't they come out with a new crossbow recently? What was that called? I forget.
I don't remember.
I think it was with the QBD.
Oh, that crossbow. That's mostly for QBD, not other monsters.
But it had the stats almost as good as a chaotic. So. Mm. Okay.
I have no idea.
Before we move on to the membership promotion, I want to highlight something I just saw in the community roundup. The player fan art. There's a good example here of a Jadinko sent in by someone. So have a look at the community roundup and have a look at that nice piece of art there.
And they're also having a Halloween lyric competition. So if you fancy yourself a budding lyricist, can you convey the most complex of emotions in just a sentence? If you answer yes, you may want to enter a Halloween lyric competition. Answer no, we still want you to answer. And you say, I don't know. Well, we still love Thriller. I mean, everyone, do it. Go.
Alrighty. So the membership promotion. Previously it was a flaming skull. Now it's an evil scarecrow mask. So, buy any 90 or 100-day RuneScape card, and you will receive a Scarecrow mask. And this is between October 11th and October 31st inclusive.
DC is going to sue.
What do you mean?
DC Comics, Ghost Rider, Scarecrow from Batman.
I see.
They're going to sue. But...
I don't get why. Provide some background.
Because that DC Comics were created those characters.
You
have Scarecrow who's wearing a Scarecrow mask, and you have a Ghost Rider who's having the flaming skull.
Oh, okay. I see.
Oops.
I don't know. I think this isn't enough.
Okie dokie. But, well, you get those membership cards and have fun.
You know, looking back, I wish I would have picked up a card for the Flaming Skull. Because you can change the color of it.
What would you make it to? Green?
Blue or red. And then I'd get the eyes to go with it from the loyalty store.
The eyes.
Yeah. You remember on those DS9 episodes how when a person was inhabited by a prophet or Pa Wraith?
I thought we're not going to Star Trek today.
I never said that. Actually,
okay.
Yeah, we are. That's what this last point is about. Okay. So, as usual, we have a behind-the-scenes video, which you can watch. That includes what next week's update is going to look like, in particular, the Goblin rework. I'm also going to put up some of the teaser pictures that Jagex sent us. You can have a look at this and talk about it in the update notes at update.rspnb.com.
Okay, and so...
Oh, this is also going to be when Dark get a rework.
Yes, forgot about that one. So it's going to be a new new quest? Or?
Yep. Right. Much like they redid the quest last week. So.
Mm-hmm. What's mine is yours. That sounds very communist, isn't it?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Oh, boy.
Shane points.
Alrighty. So, I have a bit of a discussion here. You can chime in, of course, too, if you want. People have been playing RuneScape for a long time. You remember when the loyalty points came out? Some people were upset that they didn't do this retroactively for people who were subscribed since way back when.
Not really, but go ahead. Go on.
Okay. And do you also remember when they started as adding squeal spins to quests and people who had done quests in the past didn't get new squeal spins?
Right. You kind of get angry with that too.
Yeah, I did for some reason on the economy or whatever. So, I mean, we've had a few things like this in the past of RuneScape, and in reality, they're not that bad. They're not changing of gameplay. You didn't invest huge amounts of time to do all these quests, and all you're getting in return from these is squeal spins, which we all got extra through Sizzling Summer. So, I mean, squeal spins are nice, but they're not everything. That's not the whole point of the game. Same thing goes for loyalty points. When the loyalty system came out, they could have went retroactive and see when did this subscription begin and do that, but they didn't. And, you know, loyalty points, how big of a draw is the loyalty point store on your gameplay?
The store is off zero. I really don't care for it.
Exactly. So let's just say here that there was such a system in place. Let's say you've been subscribing for quite a long time. And they added a God mode option where you could just pay a larger sum of money and get all the benefits from where you ended up. So let's say they had this thing where you had just been working up to all the quests being done and getting all the squeal spins as you went along. Same thing for loyalty points. And you paid a bit more money and you got a huge influx of spins and loyalty points. How would you feel?
I don't know. Guess I would be happy.
Yeah, but you'd have to pay extra money to get that.
That's it. Well, forget it.
Exactly. So this week, in our other game that we play, Star Trek Online, the game is approaching the 1,000-day veteran marks, meaning the game's almost been out for 3 years, so people could have been subscribed for 1,000 days as of this past Thursday or something like that. So... what happens as you move along through that game and you pay money to subscribe? You get extra benefits as you move along. So at 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800, and 900, you get something new. So people are just approaching their 1,000 days. And they have what's called a lifetime subscription agreement, meaning you pay a one-time fee, something like $300, and you have membership for life there. And what happens with that is, so far, you've just been working up to lifetime, and you've been subscribing and whatnot, and you get your 1,000-day reward. But when they released the 1,000-day reward, they did something else. They made it so that anybody who subscribes to Lifetime now, even if it's only been their first day, will get access to this 1,000-day reward when people in the past have been working for the better part of 3 years to get access to this. And it's simple enough to say that people were upset with the fact that somebody who just decides to subscribe to Lifetime now gets the same benefit as somebody who's been playing the game for almost 3 years. So people were very upset about that. And, you know, it just seems like a ploy to get money for the game. And the point of me telling you guys this story is that everybody should be thankful that Jagex isn't in the game to manage their systems like this. They're not in the game to just add things in as a sort of money-making thing to turn the game into a cash cow. As we've seen with all the other Q&As and everything that have been said so far, they're not doing this just purely to raise money. They want to provide real benefits as well, and they don't want to abandon their core principles. So the message here is that be thankful that Jagex is not going to be delivering this kind of update on you where you're going to feel cheated because you have been putting hard work in and then it's just gone to waste. So just be thankful for that and realize that the next time there's an update to Squeal of Fortune or Solomon Store, if you're the kind of person who doesn't like that, just be thankful that you, as an oral member, are not getting hurt by this update. Do you have anything to add?
Not really. But then, you know, the whole point of Star Trek Online revolves around you putting more money in anyway. Mm-hmm. At least with RS, you know, you can still get Squeals. I mean, they give you ways of getting free spins and everything else. Solomon, I'm still waiting for them to get a nice big discount, which may happen sometime next year. You know, as I said, I really don't care for Squeal. It's, you know, I do my 2 spins I do every day, and that's pretty much it.
Yep, and so this is the point. Just be thankful that the Jagex microtransactions work in this way, and not the point where they're just in an effort to gain money and hurt the existing membership base.
Yeah. And, one little thing. Remember, just every MMO now does to some form of microtransaction. And, you know, even Jagex is like, all right, we'll give you 10% discount if you're a member, but we'll every once in a while they'll throw in a freebie. And then we got some new emotes, some new titles in just for free, just for being a member. Most other companies won't care.
Exactly. So, I mean, there's still something different about Jagex, and that's a good thing. And that's what I want everybody to take away from this story, is that things could be actually a lot worse when it comes to microtransactions. So before next time somebody gets upset and starts ranting about this whole thing, please do realize that there are worse systems out there.
Actually, I was during a couple of weeks ago when Steam was having their kind of like, oh, try these MMOs for free for whatever. I tried one of them. The second I got in, it was, do you want to buy some space and real money, get some better stuff? I don't even know if I'll play this game. And suddenly they're asking me for cash. Turns out I hated the stupid thing. It was really, really bad. And I just left, uninstalled and left.
Yeah, there you system. Go.
Also, it also didn't help that the second I logged in and made my character, the only thing I saw in the chat window was selling gold. I was like, oh, that's nice. And what's funny is that the next day I went back on just to, you know, take a look. The same guy was there.
Oh, wow. Like, same name and everything?
Same name, same place, same uniform. I was like, Didn't they try to? I mean, I know I reported him. I know I did. You know, Runescapians are more proactive with their reporting people stuff. Sometimes maybe a little too much, but, you know, I reported him. He was still there.
Yep. So, so before we criticize what RuneScape is, let's realize that we do actually have things pretty good and be thankful for what we have. And this should have been the story last week, because last week was Thanksgiving here. So,
well, ours won't be for another month. Then after that is shopping.
Yay!
Shopping! Holla!
Alrighty.
Oh, I'm so gonna get that new big screen TV.
Right. Okay. So do you have anything else to add before we move on?
Just remember, bonus weekend is about 2 weeks, and your play gets 20%. So everybody gets something.
Yay! Alrighty. Moving on to questions now. Two audio questions this week. I was really hoping we could get five, but more on that later. First one is from Marumska.
Hello, Shane and Temple Tricky. I think it's the time of the year that I ask you some popular culture questions again, which I don't understand, which is, what's to go with that Gundam-style thing? It's on the radio, it's on the TV promotions, and used in the weather report too. I watched it myself and I have no idea what's it about, what's the fuss about. And I recently bought an iPad for my mother, which she loves it. Do you think the iPad will eliminate the need for computers further down the road? For the people who don't really need to use the fancy software that we use. Anyway, talk to you next time. Rumska out.
At least he sounds better than Justin Bieber.
You know, I don't understand the point of that either. I personally found it really annoying.
Of course you find it annoying. It's you.
But the video behind it was kind of interesting. So, and you know, I don't get it. It shot to the number one on iTunes, and I think it was Korean, right?
South Korea, yeah.
And didn't they have something in there about playing StarCraft as well?
No, I don't believe so. I actually looked up the lyrics to the song just like I was out of curiosity. It's really, you know, a regular pop song. It's like, oh girl, I want you, can you be with me, type of thing.
So why did it gain so much traction then?
I'm guessing it's the guy's personal charm and the way he danced.
Maybe.
And just a little bit of, like, he's a little bit all out there when he does.
It's been
when
displaced by Taylor Swift on iTunes.
Yeah. To each his own. I mean, you know, it's a fad. Oh! Ow. Dude.
That was the iTunes preview for it. I'm sorry about that. Just YouTube it if anybody wants to find it.
But okay. Let's see. Oh, it was interesting because they had a little. They ended up having a concert in South Korea in supposedly 80. Gangnam Style.
Yeah, that's enough of that, I think.
It's a good club music.
I guess that's what it's for, but yeah, I don't get how that...
You have the whole beat of, you know, of a couple just going all out craziness.
Yeah, I guess it's about time we had something like this, because I guess there has to be something like this once or twice a year.
Yeah. What was last year's thing, man?
I don't know, but I know 2010 was Justin Bieber. So number one is Taylor Swift, number two is Gangnam Style, three is Skyfall through Adele, four is Diamonds Rihanna, five is One More Night, Maroon 5, then we have Taylor Swift again at six, then we have Keisha at seven with Die Young, then we got Some Nights with Fun at eight, number nine is Too Close from Alex Clare, and number 10 is Live While We're Young from One Direction.
Alrighty.
That's the iTunes top 10 for the week in the Canadian store. So iPad replacing computers. What do you think?
For the casual consumer, I'd say yes.
I agree.
For the one who's, you know, checking emails, checking Facebook, or Twitter updates, or oh my God, Britney Spears had another baby. That's great. You know, it's almost anywhere. You can pop, you know, whip that out of your backpack and be done with it. But someone like us, unless the Razer tablet thing really kicks off a whole new trend, I don't see PC companies really going away.
Yeah. I agree with you. And tablets are such a great thing for people who really didn't get technology at the first place. So, for example, my dad is using the iPad we have here, and he previously, before that, didn't really go on the internet at all. If he needed something looked up, he'd have one of us do it. So that completely changed the way that he it got him basically on the internet. So that's good in that way, and my mom would do stuff like that before, but she has her own use cases for the iPad, like just it being sometimes a portable camera, and because of the great screen on it, a photo album.
And look up recipes for cooking and all that?
No, she doesn't do that. But that would be another good use case for it as well. So I completely agree with that. When the iPad came out, I said that if this thing is successful, it will bring about a paradigm shift towards the standard user, which I think it has. And if anything, the prevalence of other tablets from Microsoft, smaller devices, Android devices too, are going to push this even further, which is ultimately a good thing. Because if you think about it, we've been using the standard computer metaphor since the 1960s. We've been punching things onto a little keyboard where we make an electrical signal and letters appear on the screen. And we've been moving this thing called a cursor around with either a mouse or something like that. And when you think about it, that's really not an efficient way of interacting with the computer. We need something else. It's just that this is the best thing we've got. It's like forms of government. We have the best form of government that we have. It could be better. So it's a matter of trying to find it. Do I think that there will be a paradigm shift down the road for gamers? We kind of already had that with the console thing, and I think most games are already heading back to PC, because if you remember in the first part of the decade, major releases were for the consoles first, right?
Still kind of is. I mean, we'll see. Every time PC gets delayed.
But now PC gets it first. Or not first. They get it at the same time as consoles. So, I mean, I think we already tried that, and people like their consoles, but it's not exactly the next generation of things. I'm not sure where we'll go next. I think the next big thing is in mobile for everything. So maybe more mobile gaming on phones and whatnot, and maybe see phones replacing things like the Game Boy or I don't know. Do they even have a Game Boy? Or just called Nintendo DS nowadays.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. So I think that's what I think that's going to be the evolution in gaming. I think that PC gaming is going to be here to stay because you can get such great hardware on the PC that blows away pretty much any console that's currently out there. So, I mean, there's no reason not to PC game, and that's where people are going to stick. I think PCs are also going to stick around for programmers because they need the horsepower to design something on and do it that way, unless, of course, we're talking about a different kind of programming. Business users, that's a different story. We could see tablets in terms of business, but that would, of course, take a little while longer because we know most businesses are currently still on Windows XP and just considering upgrading to Windows 7. So,
or Windows 8 soon.
I don't know. I don't think the enterprise is going to Windows 8.
Yeah. Too expensive, really.
Well, it's not just that. It's the expense in terms of training and whatnot, because they feel that they need all this training. But in reality, once you actually sit down with Windows 8, it's a lot of the same thing. So I mean, I don't buy that. I mean, I heard, do you remember when Office 2007 came out and people were screaming that it's such a horrible UI?
No, I didn't hear that, but when I finally installed 07 onto my computer, I'm like, oh, this is sweet. I love it.
Exactly. It made it so much easier to use.
Although my dad, being computer illiterate, had a hard time realizing that little things change, so I had to go and find the one with the classic toolbar. I'll just leave it at that. And he goes, all right, just makes it easier for him. But I liked it. I mean, one of like us who was more techno savvy is like, oh, cool, I can just click a bunch of buttons now instead of going to file or edit and all that kind of stuff.
And, you know, I think the ribbon was one of Microsoft's good innovations, and that's the way innovation in UI has to happen. It has to happen through this. You can't most times just turn an industry on its head and hope that things will stick, which actually is what happened with the mobile phone interfaces, because they kind of took cues from the desktop, but not really. So,
shouldn't Microsoft sue Apple for copying them?
Why?
Why not?
What did Microsoft ever have that was successful in the mobile space?
I said, Shane, probably forget it.
Oh. Alrighty. I don't have anything else on this one. Do you have anything else?
Don't drop it.
Yeah. But it's pretty hard to drop an iPad.
Well, there was a little red thing. One of my friends was showing to me because I was over there. And supposedly a grandma thought it was a scale and tried to find out his weight. Next thing she knows, that thing cracked.
What?
Big grandma. Well, which one is this? What do you want me to say?
The iPad was a scale?
Uh-huh. Supposedly her grandson threw it on the floor or someone dropped it on the floor and she thought it was a scale.
Really?
Could have made it up, but I'm just saying what was there.
Alrighty, moving on. Thank you, Maramska, for that question. Next question would be from Uncle Dano.
Greetings, hosts. Uncle Dano once again. My question for you this week deals with drop parties. As you know, I'm getting very close to completing my goal of achieving 99 in 12 of the basic gathering and production skills. As part of the celebration, I'll be hosting a drop party, of course, at my POH. Because of the nature of the 99s that I'll be getting, of course I want to have many of the drops provide supplies and materials to help others train their skills. This would include dropping quantities of ores and bars, herbs and herb lore supplies, potions, food, logs, etc. Besides these items, what are some of your all-time favorite drops that you enjoy receiving from a drop party? I'd also like to invite all the listeners to provide any suggestions as well in my RSBNB forum thread entitled Uncle Dano's Goal Consecutive 99s in the Goals and Achievements section of the forums. Thank you for taking my audio questions and for your suggestions. Wishing you, as always, Godspeed and another fine day in the scape to you all. Sincerely, Uncle Dano.
Shane?
Yes, so what's your favorite drop party item that you've got?
From a drop party, I don't know what, back in the day it was the Dragon Dagger. I didn't have it at the time, it was kind of expensive, so I couldn't afford it. When I got that at a drop party, I was like, that was the only thing I wanted. I was like, I don't care about anything else, I just want that.
Okay.
But what I would really like is to have a very, very nice, if Mr. Dano is willing to drop it, I would love to have a party hat.
Me too. White.
Yeah. No, we don't mind. We're not picky. Any color would do. Well, Shane's a little picky, but I'm not picky. If it's a little out of your budget, I wouldn't mind getting a mask. Christmas crackers
you
get too.
You already have a mask.
Can I say I don't and you believe me?
No. Because you asked me to check the price on a mask set before we began.
Santa's always good.
Yeah, that's good. No, but aside from rare items, some of the, like, I don't like receiving crap from drop parties. So I don't like items that are just like, cabbage or something like that. And I know there are people out there who troll by just dropping cabbage and making it look like the drop party owner did that. So that's what I do not like. At this stage of the game, what I would like would be to receive a stack of like 100 air orbs, for example, or 100 gold bars or 100 adamant bars or something. Something that would make one of the production skills easier for me. And since that's where you're going, that's the kind of things I would do. I would do, because when I got my 99 farming, what I did is I had a drop party as well. And with that, I dropped seeds, of course. So, you know, people came for seeds. And, you know, what better way of promoting the great skill of farming than dropping seeds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I always like it when drop parties drop things that they're associated with. So if it's a combat celebration, drop combat items, skilling items, drop the seeds or whatever, or the raw materials for the ingredients.
Yeah. When I got 99 fishing, I went and dropped a ton of sharks.
What about burnt shark?
Well, this was back in the day, back in Classic.
Oh, okay.
The Classic? No, it was right after Swan Song came out, so none of the other, no Rock Terror stuff came out yet. So it was basically, you know, I dropped a ton of sharks. Now if you drop a shark, no one cares.
Yeah, they're so cheap. But, you know, once again, a stack of 100 sharks, that's good. That provides you food for a while, and it's always nice to have sharks because they're still a good healing amount.
I dropped a ton of sharks. I think I dropped over like almost 10,000 sharks when I got with you and Mike and one of my other friends. I dropped them like one at a time on Catherine B. and dropped a couple of other stuff that I didn't want anymore, but it was, you know, it was a way to clean up my bank. And I went and dropped, what was it? I went and dropped, you know, like packs of 100 sharks, and one lucky guy got 1,000 of them.
And, you know, one thing I can recommend for drop parties is to choose a quiet world and a quiet location. That will indeed reduce the lag, which is always good. And drop parties with more than 200 people really just don't work, in my view, because you have so many people standing on one square, you just madly click on the square under you and hope you get something, which is really not a good thing. And, you know, same goes for telegramming. People, please don't do that at drop parties. That's really annoying.
Actually, it doesn't work as much anymore, considering you can run to it faster.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So,
I mean, back in Classic, it was a problem because, you know, you only walk so fast, and telegramming was just so much easier. You just find something that's red, and you click on it.
Whoop. There you go. It's in your inventory.
Yeah. So, but I believe he did say that he was going to do it in his house. So
yeah, so that's good then. And, you know, try and keep it under 100 people. That way then that reduces the lag and just makes it easier for everybody to get something. Because no one likes going to a drop party and not getting anything.
Oh, and one other little thing, Mr. Dano. Make sure you have a nice big dungeon underground. I'm looking forward to getting Shane into the mat and then pulling the lever.
Like
30, 40
as
people.
I recall, I beat you last time we tried this.
I can't remember anymore. I don't have a dungeon in my thing.
Oh, yeah. One other thing that I might recommend, something I always like doing at my drop parties is giving out consolation prizes. So have a little thing running, and whoever comes best dressed or something, just you'll have a rundown of three people and just generate a random number and then give that person a little extra prize or something like that, so that there is a chance of somebody getting something without actually doing at the drop party. That's another thing I like doing in the past.
Actually, whenever someone starts begging, I just cancel the thing altogether. If you're going to beg, then forget it. Remember one of my fishing drop parties, I dropped like monkfish and sharks everywhere and packs of 50 and stuff. And this one guy was like, please give me something. Please, please give me something. Like, no, go get it. I mean, just click around. Please, please. I said, well, you know, hey, guys, guess what? Prep party's over. You can't thank him. Ooh, there was so much anger around.
But that's different. That's a public drop party. This is going to be a private drop party.
Yes, but
well, private in the sense of RSB and B, not public.
Yes. Please, you know, don't
like
beg.
In Catherby or something.
So, you know, please don't beg. Unless you're begging for your life, then by all means, beg as hard as you can.
Alrighty, do we have anything else with this one?
I look forward to it.
Alrighty, and please do PM us, and we'll try and promote it a bit on the show for you.
So, oh, and you should do it in your local time. Do it on 12-12-2012 at 12-12 and 12 seconds. That'll be fun. Use your computer clock. That'll be, you know.
Is that when the world's supposed to end on 12-12-2012, 12-12?
No, it's supposed to be on the 21st.
Oh, right. Oops.
Yeah, I've got that messed up too. Yes, I know. Shut up.
Is that Benny?
No, that's a... How does my dog sound like Benny?
I don't know. Alrighty, next one is from Carpi. Dearest hosts, using my insta-death darts, I ventured into Nexus Lair, along with 30 others, to try my luck. To my surprise, I received a Pernix Boots drop, which I later sold for 44 mil. This funded me for 99 ranged. What did you use your fake cards on? Do you think the darts will ruin prices of next items? Also, toaster cereal. Love, Carpi. I don't think that these will ruin the prices of next items because they're dropping at the same rate as they usually do. And with that, the items would come into the game naturally like they would. So I don't think it would ruin that. What did your dart or your cards on?
I want to use them on darts. I haven't exactly used my darts or anything yet. Uncle Dano actually the other day used his on the remote banking. So he invited me to go down to Tawana Village where that would have all the mahogany and teak logs. Mm. And we're cutting mahogany for a while. Sad part was 1 hour.
Okay, 1 hour.
The sad part was that he had a rabbit's foot necklace and got no nest whatsoever. I got one. Yes, Dano, I'm rubbing that thing in.
Yeah, you know, I had the same luck before when I was woodcutting. I would actually get more nests without the rabbit foot, strangely. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know what I'm going to use mine for. We got the rejuvenation one where you die you just come back to life if you die. The insta-kill, the remote banking, and what's number four? I forget.
Shoot. Damn it.
I don't know. But you were saying you were going to choose the insta-kill?
Uh-huh. I want to use on Queen Black Dragon. Just, hey, remember that time you killed me 5 times, made me look like a fool on the Yars D&B podcast? There you go.
Oh.
Here you go. Here's payback.
Okay, so there's the emergency healing box, which I was talking about. Consumer regains all life points instantly and can be used on other players. And there's also the one that respawns with all items and health fully restored. So, yeah, I think the insta-kill dart's still the best one to use.
Whew. And so
that's probably what I'll do. I don't know if I'll go to next or something, but as I heard, there were actually lineups to use these things on next. So there were people in line, and there was a question of whether or not people would be cheating the line and everything. So that was quite funny to hear.
Yeah, I never fought in next. I would like to go down there, just never done it.
Well, use your darts on that.
Yeah, but I don't feel like going down there by me, Steve.
Well, if I come with you.
Sure, we can make a small event out of it. But my little pet peeve was, well, actually one interesting note on it was supposedly one of my friends sold his ring of wealth down there for 1 mil because the guy who came down there forgot his and went to go back up. So I was like, hey, I should have been selling ring of wealth down there. I would have made a million.
Wait. Yeah, but you know, I think that was a one-time thing.
I know.
And that's another great thing about having the economy back in a free system. You can sell a ring of wealth for 1 mil.
Mm. Well, whatever. Anything else you want to?
No, I think that's it for that part. Toaster cereal.
That depends on the weather.
Okay, why is that?
Because if it's freakishly cold, I don't want to be drinking cold milk. Actually, it makes my stomach not so happy.
So you're lactose intolerant as well, then?
No, I'm not. I'm just cold weather like that. only drinking cold. It's like drinking cold water in the, like, stormy weather. It doesn't sit too well with me. It's an Asian thing. That's why in Asian cultures, you rarely give anybody cold water. You always give them hot water.
Or really? Tea.
Yes.
Earl Grey tea?
Yeah, I think that stuff is too sweet or too bitter, depending on... Most Asian teas are actually bitter by nature. We just add an extra stuff to make it more sweet.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
But, you know, I don't mind grilled cheese sandwich every once in a while during, as I'm in a rush.
Goat cheese?
Milk, grilled cheese.
Oh, I thought you said goat cheese. Okay.
Goat cheese is good for you.
Okay. Yeah, for me, toast, definitely, because cereal would have to be eaten dry, and, you know, you don't really want to eat cereal dry for... too much time, and because that's the whole melt thing as well, right? So definitely toast.
PBJ?
No, peanut butter on toast. No, that's just too chewy and it's hard to swallow.
So I call it PBJ, not PB.
I know, but still too hard to swallow. I just like my toast with a good thick slice of white bread, not too toasted, and just a bit of margarine on top. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Okay.
So, thank you for the question, Karpai, and specifically to Uncle Dano and Maramska for sending audio questions in. And remember, if we do get 5 audio questions, you can send. We will do a live show. So you can send those audio questions to questions@rsbnb.com. Just email us the file there. Or you can phone them in to the Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632. Or leave us a voicemail on Skype. Just enter the username rsbnbupdate and leave us a voicemail with whatever your question is. And I am looking at an alternate way to send questions in via the website, but I haven't really researched it much that yet. But it would make sending them a great bit easier, and we could just get rid of the Skype way. And basically, you just go to your web browser, press a button, and record. So I'm looking into something like that as well for... sending audio questions in. But if you don't want to send an audio question in, send a text question in, and we'll talk about whatever you send in.
Cool.
And those will be posted on Monday on the forums at rsbnb.com/forums. So if you're not a member, you might as well head over there and check it out and see what we got for the community, and they will welcome you with open arms.
Yes, unless you're a prick, in which case we'll kick you out really quick.
Yes, but with due process.
Okay.
Tech news. Another version of Office has hit the RTM stage, which means it's going to be available, well, October, or in November, actually. So Office 2013, for those of you guys who still get excited about Office, I'm sure there are a few of you guys out there who still use Microsoft Office, but I've pretty much migrated away from it. But nonetheless, good progress from Microsoft. And they are indeed pushing cloud initiatives with this one. So there is going to be an Office 365 update as well that will be coming out in November through the next service update if you use Office 365.
Sweet.
Also, they are going to be releasing next year a version of Office for the iPad and iOS, which is about 2 years overdue, because there's lots of people who use iOS devices that would like to have these.
I won't know. I don't have iPhone.
Well, I mean, it's just a good thing to have because, you can use Pages and stuff, which is a good word processor, but it's not exactly the most compatible with Microsoft things. So that's good. And it would be really nice to see a version of OneNote on the iPad. That would be really, really good for school students, because I know of people who use the desktop version of OneNote on laptops for school note taking and stuff. So definitely will be very interesting to see what they do with that.
Hmm. So let's see.
But you can actually get take a look at the consumer preview for this. Just click the try the Office preview, and you can try it for free on Microsoft's website. So that's nice of them.
Okay. And next on the list, we have, what would happen if you dislike Facebook? We want to hear about it.
Exactly, which is good of them, don't you think?
Dislike Facebook.
Because people have been just randomly on Facebook getting these surveys. And hopefully they'll take some... hopefully they'll get some of the technical people in this who have reasons they don't like it. And maybe one day act upon this. So overall, I think it's good that they're doing this. I wonder if people are really concerned about privacy who use it.
What, who use Facebook?
Yeah.
Well, if they were concerned about privacy, they wouldn't be posting stupid things on in the first place.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you get people who are like, oh my god, I got so high, / whatever, and like, ooh, sorry mom, I just forgot you were on here.
Yeah. So they got questions like, overall, how satisfied are you with your Facebook experience? How likely are you to recommend Facebook to someone you know? How important is Facebook for you staying connected to close friends and families, acquaintances, celebrities, and other public figures? How well or how poorly does your profile represent who you are and what you do? How do you feel about the number of friends you have on Facebook? That's an interesting one.
You know, some people want the 100 friends thing.
Yeah, or 5,000 is the limit. How do you feel about... How much do you feel you're in control of your own personal information? How much do you trust Facebook to handle personal information responsibly? That'll be an interesting one to see the answer to if it was made public. How well do you understand how to control your privacy? Okay, that's a good question as well. And it goes on for quite a bit, actually. So this is actually a real survey. It doesn't ask about the political preferences like we mentioned a few weeks back.
Well, you know, I don't care for Facebook, and people are still surprised when I say I don't have Facebook. It's like,
yeah, you don't need it.
If you want it, by all means, you know, each one has their own form of entertainment, and you choose the one that you like.
But the problem is that you use it, you are thereby encouraging others to use it as well. So if you don't like it, you should not be using it, because even if you use it a little bit, you are encouraging other people to take part in that. So
actually, Facebook is just too crazy what people put on it. You can literally put anything on it, and then there are times when Benny does Facebook and I see his friends of friends post stuff on there. It's like, I want to slap you right now, but you're too far away. They post some really nasty stuff.
Yeah, and that's the thing. People don't realize that what they're posting is going to stick around forever. So, I mean, people just need to be more careful about that. And if they did view it as like a journal, they would think that, because Facebook's already been around for almost 6 years. So imagine what's going to be like in another 6 or 20 years from now. That data is going to stay somewhere. It's just a matter of what's going to happen with it. So keep in mind what you're posting, and maybe answer some of these surveys to change this website for the better. Because I don't think they're going away. They might change, but lose a dominant spot, but they're not going away. Anyways, let's move on to something brighter. Astronomers say they have found a planet twice the size of Earth orbiting a star much like our sun. It's visible to the naked eye. It's in the constellation of Cancer. And the planet is made largely of diamond. The planet's called 50 Cancery E. 55 Cancery E, I mean.
Really? So it's diamond. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's one of five orbiting its star. They imagine the surface, it's very hot. Max temperatures of 3,900 degrees Fahrenheit, or roughly 1650 Celsius. So you can imagine what that would be like. Composed of carbon, iron, silicon, and carbide. So the surface would be graphite, essentially.
Right.
And the core, of course, would be diamond. Just because of the huge pressures associated with the planet. And, you know, when you force carbon down to that, you get diamond. So,
which I would imagine, since it's so hot over there, they'll start bonding together and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. Through the heat and all the pressures and everything. It only takes 18 hours to orbit. So it's a very interesting planet, because previously it was thought that only super Earths like this could be rocky. But this thing is practically solid, we think.
Can you imagine how much money we would make if we could go there and harvest the diamonds?
I know.
God. Shane, let's go build another space shuttle. I'm pretty sure Yeah.
Then how would you get it back?
Well, lots of gas. Just, you know, a lot of gas. Just, like, force it one way and your thing will start moving.
Yeah, and, you know, this isn't the first diamond planet, but it's the first one orbiting something like our sun. So, it's interesting how you can have two planets that are supposed to be the same, but they're completely different. And it would be very hot there, so I don't know how you would mine such a thing.
Air conditioning.
Yeah. I wonder what the melting point for a diamond is. But, I don't know. Have a read through the story if you're interested in astronomy. And it does show a picture of where the star is in relation to the constellation of Cancer and lots of other stars as well. So, easy to find. And this was found by the method where if a planet ventures in front of its parent star, the star dims slightly. So that's how this one was found. So very interesting news.
Yes, always good to look up into
space. Oh, it's 40 light years away.
Hey, it's not that far.
Yeah, it's relatively close in the big scheme of things.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, so let's see. So now we move on to other things. So first thing we have is the skill of the month, and it actually got a little interesting this week, didn't it, Shane?
Yeah, a little bit, but still. We do have a lead change from last week. Looking back at the graph, currently Fish is winning with 1.8 million XP. Parnassius is not that far behind with 1.7. And Alta is still flat with roughly 1.4. So a bit of a lead change there. Hopefully we'll have a two-way race shaping up here for number one.
Yes. Basically, Fish went kind of flat for a while. And it was like, ooh, I got to get back up. Okay.
Yeah.
And now Parnassus is flattened out a little bit. But, well, this weekend's coming up. We'll see what happens on the weekend.
Yeah, and it's summoning. And there's going to be a double XP weekend at the end. So, assuming summoning is still 1.1, people will be able to get a nice boost off of that.
Oh, shoot.
And you know what's very interesting? We should have known there is a bonus XP weekend coming. Because in all of the bonus XP weekends, except for this past March, the skill of the month has been summoning. In all of the bonus XP weekends like this.
It's a coincidence.
Well, in all the March ones, at least. The September 2011 was Fletching, but March 2011, summoning. March 2010, summoning. September 2010, summoning. So it seems as though the vast majority of skill moments we have are that take place in bonus XP weekends are summoning-based. So very interesting indeed.
Mm-hmm. And also... Oh, it's a coincidence, unless you believe that your bot thing is negotiating with Jagex to release at the same time.
Yeah, probably not. So.
Actually, it would be interesting if it actually would be double, huh? I didn't even think about
that. Yeah, that would be for summoning. I mean, woo!
But then again, 2 weeks, you can't get a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I would definitely do summoning first if that's the case. Shoot. Actually, would I?
Well, I don't have the charms. And I don't know if they do that, because in the past they said they didn't do summoning because of the charms. You have to get those mainly beforehand.
Yeah, I know. Forget it then. 400k to the next 290 summoning, I don't feel like it.
Yeah, well, in that case, hopefully we see the dev blog of what it's actually going to contain no later than next Friday. Give us time to get summoning charms if we want, because if it is indeed going to be double, that would be quite substantial. So...
And also, if things work out, I should have 80 in everything. A couple of skills are 79 because I don't feel like raising
them. Oh, okay.
I just got smithing up to 80, and that was because from the Citadel. best way to gain smithing starts without dealing with all the mining ore and junk.
Right. So while we're just heading towards there, let's actually talk about some other achievements that our community got. First up was leveling with 99 ranged on the 11th. Congratulations.
Dijon Azik got 99 Herb Lore on October 10th.
And Fire Mana, Jason, got 99 Constitution on the 8th.
And finally, Adiv got 99 range on October 7th. Oh, you want to miss the 9th. That's just that.
Yeah. Congratulations to you guys.
We almost made it sequential.
Yeah.
It's like yesterday. Oh, well, for us, anyway. You guys will get it next month.
Yeah, that's true. Alrighty. Moving on to a pick of the week. I recently changed my iOS Twitter client. I don't tweet that much, but I do read quite a bit. And I was finding that the default Twitter client from Twitter was just too laggy. It was taking too long to start. So there is a decent option, an alternative. It's called Tweetbot. It's not free. It's only $2.99. It can do all the same stuff, multiple accounts and whatnot, except it's got a bit more customization. It's like what the Tweety it used to be called before Twitter bought them, used to be like before all those UI changes and stuff happened. So if you did like that classic UI, this one will probably be for you. It's got some good features in that. So, for example, if you wanted to set up a list of certain people, you could just have that as the timeline you were viewing, or you can have your entire thing. So it does have that. It's also very customizable in that, let's just say you have a whole bunch of accounts and you want to share stuff with Bitly, for example. You can give it your Bitly name and it will use that for sharing. So that's good as well, because you don't exactly want to use the public Bitly key if you're a Bitly user. Same thing, it's got a whole bunch of other customization for whatever services you want to use, huge selection as well. And in general, just the UI is cleaner. It's faster, and it's not as focused on promoting the Twitter brand, let's say. So,
okay.
I like it. And that's for iOS.
Anything else?
Nope, that's it. And it's also got this feature where you can configure a triple tap. So let's say you triple tap a tweet, you can configure it to reply, retweet, favorite, translate, or view in Favstar, or whatever that is. I haven't got that far with it.
Beats me. I don't
tweet.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So. If you like it, go for it. I don't care for it. Do, 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 do.
Yep, so that's Tweetbot. And they are coming out with a Mac client. It's in alpha stages, and that's kind of why I wanted to have a look at this, because the Twitter for Mac client is really showing its age, and I'm not a fan of its UI.
Does that surprise me?
Well, it used to be nice, but I've just taken this whole thing on recently where I think everything should have a native UI look, and I'm really annoyed with certain OS X applications like Calendar, Notes, and Reminders, how they're trying to really make them look like the real-life objects, which is what's called skeuomorphic design, which is a total contrast from Apple hardware, you know. I mean, if you look at an Apple iMac, MacBook, or iPhone, they look nothing like real-life things. So it's interesting how the two things are diverging there. But that's a topic for another day. But I'll also take this time to remind you guys while I'm talking that we are running Informer applications for RS Writer and Gaming Writer. So if you like to talk about RuneScape and you can write, you should definitely then have a look at our application topic. which can be found on the forums or linked from the show notes at update.rspmb.com. And once again, we're not looking for somebody who can write every week. You just write one thing a month, 750 words. So if you like talking about RuneScape, if you like what we do here, except you want to do it in text, then by all means, just have a read through this and apply. Lots of people in the past thought they wouldn't get in, but they did get in. So please do apply.
Okay.
What you been up to?
I finally got myself 90 prayer.
Yay! How'd you do that?
I had about 100 ecto buckets left remaining, so I just used them all up.
Did you did you do last week's Festival of the Dead before you did that? Okay, good.
Oh, wait, no, I didn't.
Oh, so you missed out on double XP then?
That's okay. I mean, I just wanted to get rid of, use them all up, get more bank space anyway. Okay. But the thing was that before with the lamb, I got myself close to 90, and then I said, "Oh, I'll just do the rest on with the buckets that I have left." So,
right.
Got 90 prayer, and it bumped me up to 136 combat.
Yay! But that's gonna, of course, not matter in about a month and a half time, is it?
Yeah, but you know,
it'd be interesting to see if you could max before that happens. What are you missing?
99 summoning and 99 prayer. Oh.
Okay. Right. Yeah, so but, you need 98 prayer and yeah, like 96 summoning or something like that. Okay, so yeah, you won't be doing that then.
Yeah, not gonna happen. Got myself 93 dungeoneering because I want to just get that thing done with. Actually, what helped me was the challenge stuff I got.
Okay.
Oh, I wish I didn't nerf that stupid thing. Oh my god, I got so much XP.
What's that now? Like, what do you get now for doing that?
I can't remember. I'm getting like a little more than half, I want to say. But before I was getting like 120K. I was like,
yeah.
My god.
I should have done that, but I only had one of them come up and I didn't get around to it. Oh, okay. Anything else?
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, that's it. Didn't do anything else special.
Alrighty. As for me this week, not much on RS this week, just a couple of the daily challenges, a few farming runs here and there. Aside from that, I've been doing some UI design work, which is for something else, so that's been occupying my time, and it's nice to see things come together from what you're working on. Aside from that, I watched the vice president debate last night, and I think it went better for the Republican side than it did 4 years ago when Sarah Palin debated Joe Biden.
Hmm.
Aside from that, just been working on trying to get my to-do list down. I got it down from 6 to 4 items this week, so that's good. And trying to figure out what I want to do with the daily bits and seeing where that goes, because I did want to make a couple more changes to that. So we'll see what happens with that. Oh, and I actually have a question for you listeners. You'll know that Bonus XP Weekend is coming, so I wanted your guys' opinion on something. I mean, I have no problem with doing it this way, but do you guys think that I should mine during Bonus XP Weekend and then smith after? Or mine before Bonus XP Weekend and smith during Bonus XP Weekend. So either mine during Bonus XP Weekend, smith after, or mine before and smith during Bonus XP Weekend. Because I want to get 90 mining and 90 smithing. So that's one thing I'm considering, doing one of those things. And another thing I am considering is just doing air battle stuff for Bonus XP Weekend. So I'm going to do one of those two things maybe. I don't see the point of me doing construction. I'm 81 construction right now. I don't have the money to do more. So, and I don't see the point of going any further than that. So, that's why I'm not doing construction. Mm. Oh, you know what's also going to be interesting with Bonus XP Weekend? Do you think they'll give the bonus XP for RuneSpan?
That's what I wondered too when it first came out. I think they will. I don't see. I mean, if they're going to do it ZMI and all that, might as well do that one too. But
personally, I don't think they should give it to Runespan. Runespan's already fast enough. But we'll talk about that once we get the news posting out regarding what's allowed and what isn't.
Oh, and also finally got my Armadale Godzord.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing we're waiting on to see what they're going to do with the Godzords in EOC.
I figure I kind of, since dual wielding is not out yet, I decided to just grab Godzord to do a little Soul Wars at the time.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good.
As you know, after I'm done making my glories, you know, my Titan tends to have still have like, you know, 40 plus minutes on it. Well, might as well go to. I'm in the area. Might as well go to Soul Wars and just use it up.
Yep.
I like it because it's just ranging and it's stuck behind something stupid. That always annoys me when the melee ones all I get is stuck behind a rock. It's like, oh.
Alrighty then. I believe we are done for this episode. Unless there's anything else you want to mention.
Have fun.
Alrighty. So we'll see you next week, everyone, and please do remember to send those audio questions in. It would be nice to do another live show. See you next week, everyone.
Yes. Bye. Bye.